Good morning. So, we as humans are an interesting lot. Very complex and often contradictory. One of the things that we typically have issues with is we simultaneously need to do something repeatedly in order to understand and incorporate it into who we are. But in so doing, we often forget about why we do it and forget about the actual meaning of what we do. And so that contradiction is something that we need to be aware of and actively fight against. And that's for anything in our lives. You know, you can forget, okay, why do I always turn the porch light on when I go to bed? Or why do I always do this or that? And there's the joke of when you say a word repeatedly, the word stops being a word and just is a sound. We need to be aware of that even with the stuff we do here at church. We pray every single Sunday. We have singing every single Sunday. We have sermons every single Sunday. And we need to actively be engaged with all of those components, not just sort of drift and go through the motions and let the time pass. Because each of those things has meaning. Each of those things is important. My lessons this month are going to be on the singing aspect. And so if you would turn to Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is basically a command for us to use singing as a way to teach and correct. The word teach is didasko, which is also where we get the word dedicated from. It is a word that means to intentionally give new information, to develop new skills, to pass on new knowledge and new wisdom to a person. And then there's the word admonish, which in English often has a very negative connotation to it. But in Greek, the word has that aspect, but it just means to correct. It can be the negative, you're getting onto someone because they have messed up, but it's also the, you're stopping a toddler from touching the hot skillet. You're seeing a behavior that is potentially going down a path that is bad, and you're giving a warning to head it off. And so while teach implies new knowledge, admonish implies taking existing knowledge and giving a warning about future outcome if that knowledge is not followed, or if that knowledge has been corrupted, or if that knowledge is being ignored. So in here we're told that why we sing is to do those two elements of teaching to one another. It's like, well, how do you do that with song? And, well, the simple answer is we automatically do that with song all the time. That's how we teach little kids how to do things. They have ton, when we're teaching them the alphabet, you have a song that teaches them how to do the alphabet. You have little songs that teach them what the various animals of the world in the farm are. You have little songs that teach them how to do chores. We come up with songs all the time to teach little kids, but once they get above the age of 5, we forget that songs can teach. And that book on in front of you and what we throw up on the screen is filled with tons and tons and tons of lessons. And in order to absorb that, you actually have to actively be engaged with what is going on. You need to not just read and sing the words, but absorb the words as it's happening. You know, what does that verse say? What is the surface level meaning of it? Is there a deeper meaning? Which there almost always is, because it's poetry. There's almost always 2, 3, sometimes 37 different layers of meaning in any given song or verse. And that is why songs can carry such meaning to us. Is because while they're temporally compact, you know, typically being ranging from 35 seconds to 2 or 3 minutes at most, they carry a ton of information, both verbally and emotionally, that you need to pay attention to. And so many people just go through the motion. They don't pay any attention to what is going on. And that's just bad, because, you know, not every song leader, but most song leaders, we try to craft the songs that we select to focus on something, whether it be the elements of worship itself. So coming up to the Lord's Supper, songs that focus on Christ's sacrifice or the partaking in communion. As you're coming up on the sermon, songs that focus either on preaching and spreading the word in general or on the specific topic we've been given for said sermon. Songs that talk about baptism and salvation for after the sermon, for the call at the end for anyone who wishes to be baptized or wishes for prayers. Songs that themselves are prayers that ask God for specific things or to build us up in specific ways. Just going through the motions of those things is just wrong. That's saying a prayer without saying a prayer. You need to mean what is going on. And in order to mean what you're singing, you need to understand what you're singing. And so there's the very first thing I want to emphasize is actively participate. Pay attention to everything. You know, when someone is up saying a prayer, get out of your own headspace for a moment and focus on what is actively being said. When the sermon is being said, get out of your own headspace unless you have specifically been tasked to think about something during it, and focus on what is being said. And now that doesn't mean that when things pop in that are triggered by what is being said, that you ignore those, that is part of active participation. Is, oh, that made me think of this. But you don't want to spiral completely away on your own thoughts. You want to have that, store it, go back to it a little bit later. That's one of the reasons, at least for me, that so many songs get stuck in my head, is that they will be communicating a specific message that I am needing at that moment, and that gets stuck on a loop in my head until my thought process has resolved whatever is trying to be said to me or whatever I'm trying to figure out. And so I want to open this up for a short period of time for any of y'all. What type of active participation do you enjoy in the singing, and what may you struggle with in that? Are you one of those that almost always is just kind of riding along doing whatever's going on, or do you tend to latch on hard to what is going on?
Sometimes when we're singing, I don't know what we're singing when we're singing the word.
Yep. It particularly if it's a new song or one we don't sing often, that is a common thing. When that happens, that's okay. But try to pay attention to what actually is going on in the words, even if that's the only thing you're able to do. Yeah, like if it was played or sung at their funeral, or if it was one of their favorite ones that they listened to at home or sung at home, or they just seemed happier when it was sung during services or whatnot. Oh, yes. And you never will, because we're humans, and even if a song hits you super hard this time that you sing it, it may not hit you the same way the next time, because you're in a different place, what you're needing, what God is trying to communicate, will be different at any given time. But being aware and engaged enough to have those connections and to have those reactions is the important part.
And I think that's why the book has 1,000 and something in it. We're supposed to, it touches you one week and it touches you differently the next week. Not that we would not necessarily the same song, but, and they're also grouped sort of by topic or emotion, you know, there's an index in the book.
Yeah, there's a lot of different grouping
yes.
mechanisms.
And I think that we, a song that you hear all the time, perhaps, when you're just talking about different, hit you differently at different times because you're in a different spot, but also because in the rotation of what else you're singing it with, because wherever you came from on the first song, and now we're on number three or four, and it's a, there's...
Yeah, if you're paying attention, thoughts have been guided, emotions have been steered.
Yes.
Yeah.
So by the time you get to that second or third one, you're somewhere new maybe with that song, just because you started the song best with something different than you usually do. Just, I have a
Yes, ma'am.
It's very endearing in our heart because we think of him and you know, his sacrifices and the pain he went through to die for us.
Yes, ma'am. And there's a ton of different songs that focus on that specific aspect and how we connect to that through communion, through baptism, and then how we carry that as an example into the world. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. And as I was saying, they all have the songs in the songbook, all of them have different purposes. Some of them are meant to enliven and invigorate. Some of them are meant to calm and make you focus. Some are intended to, yeah, they all have themes, they all have lessons, but you got to be paying attention to know them. Yes, ma'am.
We need to remember too that we are here to praise God.
Yes, ma'am.
That's our big thing. And we're here to honor and to worship.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not about us. Sometimes we think that.
Yep. Oh, yes, and that's why we're told to sing a melody in our hearts, not just to sing if you're good at it.
Right. And if you're going to hit the right note, which I don't usually, I know it's going to be kind of gotten away from me, you know.
You like the peppy?
But it's from my heart, and I praise. I mean, I know I don't have the right note.
Yep.
But I really, hopefully he knows that I love him and appreciate all of his stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's what we come together to do.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And so, anything else real quick? before I move on to the next portion of what I wish to talk about? Okay. So we've talked about actively engaging, paying attention to the words that are being said. Another thing you can do, if you wish to, is to look up the stories and history of how a hymn came about. You know, was it a piece of scripture that was recited rhythmically for memorization that eventually developed a melody and harmonies given to it and became a song? Was it a prayer that someone wrote out that they then eventually put to music? Was it originally intended to be a song from the very beginning instead of a piece of poetry or a writing written independently and then adapted? Those types of things can help you gain greater meaning from a piece of music. And I get a lot of meaning from that, but I also went to school to be a music teacher, and so my connection to the academic side of things might be a bit stronger than most. But this is something that I believe can be beneficial to anyone who wishes to put forth the bit of effort for it. And so I want to take a look at one song, which I did not quite intend it, but I believe that we are actually singing it today in service, the It Is Well With My Soul. And so the verses of this song are, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, O the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well. With my soul, with my soul. It is well, with my soul. This is a song that has great meaning to me and many other people. It is one of the slower songs, but it is a very dramatic song, or at least can be. It is often sung at funerals, because it helps connect people to a piece of that. And there's a reason for that. This song was originally written in a response to great loss. So the words to the song were written by Horatio G. Spatford, and the music was composed by Philip P. Bliss. When the Great Chicago Fire consumed the Windy City in 1871, Horatio G. Spatford, an attorney heavily invested in real estate, lost most of his fortune. About that time, his only son of age 4 also succumbed to scarlet fever. Horatio drowned in his grief in his work, pouring himself into trying to rebuild the city and assisting the 100,000 people who had been made homeless during the Great Fire. In November of 1873, he decided to take his wife and daughters to Europe for a vacation. Horatio was close to D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, and he wanted to visit these evangelicals and their meetings in England during this vacation. When he was preparing for it, an urgent matter came up that detained him, so he wasn't able to leave at the same time. But he sent his wife and four daughters ahead. And being in the 1800s, this was by ship. He made sure that they were well accommodated in a luxury French liner called the Ville des Ouvres, I think. I'm not quite sure if I can say that word. It is French. And sent them on their way. But something nagged his mind, and he was slightly uneasy. On November 22nd of 1873, the ship had collided with an iron sailing vessel, and it sank. And in the sinking, all but 47 people died. His wife survived, but all of his daughters died. In the following ship, as he made transit himself to get to his wife, as they came to the part of the ocean where that ship had sunk, the captain came to him and he went to the front of the ship and just looked out over the ocean of where he had lost his daughters. And he started writing the poem that became "It Is Well With My Soul." It is a song that is a response to a man that had lost all of his children. Not all at the same time, but most of them at the same time. And so that is why the song has so much strong emotion to it. Why the song still connects all these decades later to us. It's because it is a song of loss, but a song of grace. It's a song of God taking hold, uplifting during a time of trouble, and protecting those who follow him. And so, learning these backgrounds, learning these deeper connections, can make the simple poetry and beautiful poetry have even more meaning than just the words on the page. And so, taking forth the effort to participate, taking forth the effort to look up, okay, why does this song seem to connect to me so strongly? Let me look up how it came about. It's a fun thing to do, and an important thing to do, because anything we can do to help us connect to God and to one another stronger is a good tool to have in our toolkit. So, any final comments anyone wishes to make in the last 5 minutes here? Yep. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. Okay. If that is all, then let's go ahead and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together to worship you and to praise you. Dear Lord, we ask that you be with us as we do so. Let us actively participate. Let us engage fully with what we are doing and in worship to you. Please let us take the words of Colossians to heart and to teach and admonish one another with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Let all of the words that we say today be uplifting and to build us and to guide us into your path. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.